This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Richard Benedetto, former longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. He now teaches politics and journalism at American University here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts as President Bush holds his farewell press conference at the White House just 8 days before Barack Obama is sworn in as the 44th president of the United States. And Richard, thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be with you, Greg.
Well, this happens pretty much with every administration, certainly in the television age anyway. It's yet to be seen if President Bush will have a televised farewell address. But in terms of what he discussed today, what did you make of his tone, his attitude, and what he considers his track record on some of the critical issues over the past 8 years, namely the economy, the war, and Hurricane Katrina?
Well, he addressed all of those topics. He seemed to have a sort of seemed to be relaxed. He seemed to be kind of comfortable with himself. He didn't seem to be have many regrets. He talked about having disappointments, but he said that he can go home and look himself in the mirror because he says he thinks that he's made decisions that he thought were the best decisions he could make at the time, given the information he had. So I think that he was a little bit wistful, a little bit nostalgic. He came out and he praised the press corps for being professional, even though they had their differences. And he talked about, you know, one of his disappointments is being unable to change the tone in Washington. The rhetoric that goes on and that substitutes for honest political discourse.
Richard, he obviously is looking at pretty low approval numbers right now, but he also likes to compare himself to Harry Truman a little bit, who also left office back in 1953 with very low approval numbers. But over time, history, historians, and even the public have come to appreciate what Truman did, even if the public at the time didn't. Do you see President Bush having parallels like that, or is that more wishful thinking on his part?
Well, I think that there's a possibility. A lot will depend upon what happens in Iraq and in the Middle East. If that over a long period of time turns out to be better than we see it there now, President Bush's stock will go up historically. It's down now. He actually Truman left office at a lower job approval rating than Bush had. Bush is running around 30%, 29, 30, 31, 32 percent in the polls. Harry left at 24. It was pretty low. Only Richard Nixon left a little lower than that. But the fact is that there is no such thing as short-term history, as Bush said, and it takes time to judge and see the full sweep of what was accomplished, what wasn't accomplished, and what happened over time. Presidents don't change things overnight, and the world doesn't change overnight.
Richard, you've covered this president for the first several years of his administration, and you also had the privilege of covering several other chief executives. What struck you most that was perhaps unique about this administration or this particular president, either in how they approached the job, how they presented their case on various issues to the American people and so forth? What sticks out to you as a reporter about this president?
Two things impressed me, are very memorable about this president. The first is he's always been his own man. He never seemed to try to bend or shape himself to either public opinion or to what the critics were saying. He stuck to his guns. That's American people, when they are polled and asked what they want in a president, they say they want a president who doesn't pay attention to the polls, who does what he thinks is the right thing, and then when they get it, they don't like it, especially if they don't agree with what the president's saying. The other thing that I've always been impressed with over time has been the fact that while he has had tremendous criticism and very harsh words being used against him, he has never responded in kind. And I say never. When I say never, I mean never. He has never called Democrats names. He has never called anybody that I can recall names. He never actually, if you go back and check his speeches, if he criticizes people, if he ever criticize the Senate or the House or the Congress, he wouldn't say the Democratic senators or the Democrat. He'd just say some members of Congress don't want to do this or some members of the Senate don't want to do that, but he never responded in kind.
And Richard, in terms of changing the tone, he admits that he didn't make as much progress there as he'd like to. Is that just part of an entrenched Washington, or do you think Senator Obama, now President-elect Obama, has a better shot of making that happen?
Well, I don't think it's a case of where the president can make it happen. I think it's a case of where the other people, who are the critics, have to make it happen. If the critics use harsh rhetoric and just continue to use harsh rhetoric, whether they be from the left or from the right or from the middle, it's going to stay that way. It's not up to the, as I say, the president didn't use harsh rhetoric.
Right.
It was the critics. And so it's up to the, it's going to be up to the critics, and that comes mainly from the media. But you know, this is the first president who really had an 8-year term with the advent of blogging, and blogging has added to that nasty tone.
Certainly has. And about a minute left in our conversation, you mentioned some of the qualities of his that struck out at you in terms of his public persona, his ability to stay above the fray, so to speak. In terms of leadership style, you mentioned kind of the certainty he had, not many regrets on the job. Some say he was a delegator. Others claim, of course, that Dick Cheney was really running things behind the scenes. What did you make of him as a leader, as a manager, from your vantage point?
I think he depended upon his people quite heavily, which is what a good manager does. But the thing is, I think that when he called himself the decider, and made the point that the buck stops with him and he makes the decisions, he got a lot of ridicule for that. But that's what we choose presidents to be, deciders. And he decided, whether you like what he decided or you don't like what he decided, he decided. He has that power to decide, and he made decisions. Whether they were decisions that he came to on his own or based upon what other people recommended to him, he made decisions, and he has to be the guy who takes the praise and takes the blame, and he's never run away from either of those.
Well, Richard, it's certainly been a consequential 8 years, regardless of one's opinions of those decisions that he's made. Thank you very much for your time with us today, as always.
Good to talk to you, Greg.
Richard Benedetto is a longtime former White House correspondent for USA Today. He now teaches politics and journalism at American University here in Washington. His book is entitled Politicians Are People Too. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll chat with former Bush chief media strategist Mark McKinnon about the biggest legislative goal for big labor in 2009. But when we come back on Dateline Washington, the latest insights on the war in Gaza between Israel and Hamas, as we're joined by retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely. That's next. This is Dateline Washington.